You're listening to Marketplace Weekend from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Chances are you consumed a lot of food this Thanksgiving week. In thinking about consumption, we're looking at the growing market for insects to eat. No, stay with me here. They are a cheap source of dense protein, popular in many parts of the world, and now in the U.S., you can get insect flour and insect protein bars. To learn more about the industry, we reached out to Andrew Brentano. He's the co-founder of Tiny Farms, based in Oakland, California. He told me what it's like inside a cricket farm.
It's going to smell like you walk into a barn, basically, where there are cows or pigs or horses or chickens. Like any other animal, they smell like animals when you have a lot of them together. It's going to be reasonably loud because part of your population is going to be adults and breeding, so they'll be chirping away. And whenever you come near a bin, there's going to be a lot of scuttering noise. The crickets actually require a very dry atmosphere, so it's going to be hot and dry and smelly and skittering noises all over the place.
What are the environmental costs of farming insects as opposed to, say, poultry or cattle?
There's this really incredible divide in the resources required for insects versus traditional livestock. Some of the really biggest gains are in water. It takes literally thousands and thousands of gallons of water to raise a cow. And so we're talking hundreds to thousands of gallons of water per pound of beef, for instance. And it takes only about a gallon of water to raise a pound of crickets. We've got big gains in feeding them, big gains in processing them, and also big gains in the feed conversion. So the amount of water that goes into raising a cow, a lot of that goes to watering the plants that it eats. A huge percentage of the world's grain production is actually destined for animal feed, not human feed.
So there are a lot of great arguments, seemingly economically and health-wise, for crickets, but there are so many hurdles to make it work. I mean, are you guys profitable?
No, I don't think anyone in the industry is currently profitable, but there have only been products on the shelf for at most a year. I think there's, you know, I'm not going to say that insects will be the number one driver of our economy, although it could be, but this is such an early stage. In just the next couple of years, there's going to be a rapidly growing market. The market was currently estimated to be market size about $20 million, and it's just sort of on an exponential growth curve right now.
What has to happen then to get this beyond kind of a novelty fascination product to something that people just go, oh, yeah, okay, insect protein?
The real breaking point that's going to make this into a mainstream commodity is going to be bringing the price down to equal or better than current animal protein sources. And we think this is very achievable in the next couple of years, but we're going to have to bring the price of raw cricket down to below, say, $2 a pound. And right now, the very cheapest you can get raw crickets in a very small supply is about $4, $4.50 a pound. That doesn't seem like too far to drop, but it is a pretty significant decrease.
Andrew Brentano from Tiny Farms, thank you so much for talking with us.
Well, thank you, Lizzie. It was a pleasure.
Admittedly, scuttling noises don't sound super appetizing, but hey, you never know unless you try. So for brunch this week, we went to the Black Ant in New York's East Village. Chef Mario Hernandez serves grasshopper tacos, ant and worm-salted drinks, and more.
We incorporate the insects in our menu because it's the primal source of protein in the antique Mexico. So, for example, we have a really rustic and simple guacamole with grasshoppers from the central valleys of Oaxaca and some unsalt, which is those guys.
Oh, so those are ants?
Those are ants. Are
they're really big ants.
Yeah, those are the bellies that we're using to make our salt.
Okay.
We have our chapulines, the grasshoppers. And what we do is we soak it in salty water, then we toast it with some chilies, garlic, lime juice, and we let it dry in the sun.
The chilies is why they have that sort of reddish color?
Yes. Oh, okay. And actually, when you cook it, they turn red, like the lobster or like the shrimps. It's a little more red because we add some more chilies.
Why did you start cooking with insects?
It's a really important part of the Mexican gastronomy. And it's really important for Mexican people. I mean, the chapulines, you can go to the market and don't have it. It's like a little snack. But right now, it's like a fashion thing. Everybody tries to get them.
All right, let's do it. God, this guacamole is beautiful.
Thank you.
So that goes in there, the queso fresco, everything goes in there?
Yeah, we have some really nice pasilla chili.
Okay. All right, going for it.
How does it taste like?
Good. I'm kind of smoky.
It's a lot of the different textures on the plate.
The grasshoppers are crunchy.
Yeah,
they're very crunchy. They're really good.
Thank you.
What should I try next?
This is our mole.
So we just go straight mole on the
straight
tortilla?
Straight mole on the tortilla. It's made out of 28 ingredients. One of them is the...
One of them is ants?
The ants, the chicatanas.
It's kind of nutty.
Yeah, and you can wash it with our Yonkax cocktail, which Maxon is going to explain you what it is.
We have fresh corn juice, a splash of fresh pineapple, fresh lemon juice, a touch of agave nectar. We put pitiona leaf, which is a Mexican wild herb, and the rim is made with warm salt, and we top it off with a touch of pitiona as a bouquet for the garnish.
Wow.
It's really good.
Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, this mole tastes, you know, fairly like a traditional mole. I mean, I can taste the chocolate. So that sort of extra bit of...
That bitterness at the end is the...
That's the ants.
Yeah. And this is our crema de chapulín.
Oh, okay.
Chapulín bisque.
Explain to me how you make this one.
Well, it's a soup based on potatoes, apples, grasshoppers, garlic.
Mm, that's really good.
Thank you.
It does kind of have a mushroomy...
Yeah,
I mean, that's the closest analogy I could draw.
I think it's because the chapulines has all the earthiness.
The earthiness, yeah.
Yeah, all the flavors from the fields.
Are ants and grasshoppers the only two insects you cook with here?
No, we also have some agave worms. By the end of the month, we're going to have some escamoles, which are the ants' eggs. We change our insects according to the season.
Could you see a future where more people are more comfortable eating insects and different types of protein?
If you take a look, every country has their own insects. I mean, in Asia, it's a lot of insects to eat, and Latin America too. I think we're going to see in a lot of different ways, in a lot of different places, maybe in supermarkets. That's what I'm thinking.